We're doing the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah, and we're up to page Tzadi Chet in the Rambam Nam edition. The Rambam says, "Aperik Hashishi." The sixth thing the Rambam wants to discuss is "Legalot Asatum Mishmotam," to reveal those names that appear in Shas that are sealed, that it doesn't say who they were exactly. I want to make people know who they are so that everyone knows exactly who these rabbis are. And if you ask me, in a practical sense, this might be the most important part of the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah. Now, a lot of what the Rambam is saying here you can find in Shas, but the Rambam is going to sum it all up. And the Rambam is going to tell us, when you encounter this name alone or that name alone, which rabbi is it? So the Rambam says like this. Rabbi Eliezer Stam Haniskal B'Mishnah. Whenever you encounter Rabbi Eliezer alone in the Mishnah, who Rabbi Eliezer ben Hukunus. Interesting that the Rambam began with Rabbi Eliezer, just like the Shas begins with Rabbi Eliezer. And I forgot to dedicate our learning to Chaya Sarah Bat Yosef. So the Rabbi Eliezer that we encounter in the Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus, who started learning Torah when he was 28 years old. His father was the wealthy Hurkanus. You guys know the famous story from Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. And he was Talmid Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was one of the disciples of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And we know Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the smallest student of Hillel HaNasi. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had five famous students, as we've seen in Pirkei Avos. Now one of them was Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus, and according to one opinion in the Mishnah, he outweighed all the others. Rabbi Yoshua Stam, when we encounter Rabbi Yoshua alone in the Mishnah, who Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya, Talmid Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. That's Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya, who was also a disciple of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya and Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus were contemporaries. When Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus came to start learning Torah, he was a guest in Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya's home. And as he learned and learned and learned and learned, them two became the major forces fighting one another in that generation. You have many machlokot between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. And the rule is, the halacha is almost never like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer sided with Shammai's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda stam nizkal b'mishnah, and whenever you encounter Rabbi Yehuda alone in the Mishnah, it doesn't say Rabbi Yehuda the son of this or the son of that. So then, who Rabbi Yehuda ben Eli? That's Rabbi Yehuda ben Eli. Shalav ne'emar b'talmud, that about him, the Talmud says, ma'aseh v'chassid echad. It happened with one chassid, and that's a reference to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eli, v'hu shmom pusam etzlam. So it was famous that was his nickname. Chassid echad was Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eli. Rabbi Elazar stam, whenever you encounter just Rabbi Elazar, not Rabbi Eliezer, but Elazar, that's Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua HaKohen, Shayav Durosh Rabban Gamliel. He was a contemporary, he was in the generation of Rabban Gamliel. Shayotzal Linmod Levanav Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh wanted to learn by him, Velo Inichu Talmidam Linmod Levanav Ben Ameat. And Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, his students wouldn't let him learn there a lot. Rebbe says a very funny line about it. He says, when I went to Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua to learn by him, his students surrounded me like roosters, and they didn't let me learn a thing by him except for one thing, and this is what I learned by him. So Rashi over there explains that roosters, when a strange rooster enters the crop, they enters the pen, they don't let him stick around there. They stick to their own. So Rebbe says, they didn't let me learn there. Rabbi Shimon aniskal b'mishnah stam hu Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Whenever we see just the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, that's Rashbi. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, talmid Rabbi Akiva. He was a disciple of Rabbi Akiva. Shenoda inyano im haKeisar. It's known what happened with him and the Caesar. That he spoke badly about the Caesar, right? And then he had to go hide, and he hid in a cave for 13 years, right? And then he came out, and he knew... And he knew the Torah very, very well. So that might be what the Rambam's referring to. Could be the Rambam's referring to a different Gemara. There's a Gemara that says like this. The Gemara about Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and that he spoke badly about the Roman Empire, everyone knows. That's on Shabbos, Daf Lamed Gimel, like Lag BaOmer. It's easy to remember. And then there's another Gemara in Me'ilah, Yud Zayin Amid Beis. The Gemara says like this. says, begins at the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. The Romans made a decree against the Jewish people at that time. And they decreed that the Jews wouldn't keep Shabbos, they wouldn't circumcise their children, their wives wouldn't go to mikveh. And they didn't know who could go and annul the decree. So Rav Reuven ben Istrubeli went and spoke with them, and he convinced them. And after he convinced them that they should annul the decrees, the Gemara goes through different arguments that he told them. And there are different versions in this story between the Gemara and Midrashim. According to one version, according to what it says in the Gemara, they recognized that he was Jewish, so even though he had good logical claims why they should let the Jews, they should annul their decrees, once they realized that he was one of ours, so they brought back the decrees. Again, no Mila, Shabbos, or Taras HaMishpacha. So the rabbis said, okay, who's going to go now? Who's going to go and annul the decrees now? So they decided the one who should go is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai went because they said he knows whenever he needs, Hashem makes miracles on his behalf. Who's going to go with him? Rav Lezer Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara goes into the discussion. They wanted to refuse to go. Finally they went. They thought they might get killed when they go. So they went. They had a halachic shayla. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai had an argument with Reb Yossi. We're going to skip all the details. Finally, they came, and a shade came to visit them. A shade who appears in the Shas. His name is Bartalmion. And he asked them, "You want me to come with you and help you out?" And Rabbi Shimon started weeping. He said, "You know, my grandfather's maid had a malach come help her three times. That's Hagar, the maid in Avram's house. And I need help. They send me a shade, some kind of demon." So then he said, "But you know what? If you're willing to help, let the miracle come however it comes." So the Bartalmion went ahead of them, and he entered the daughter of the Caesar. So when they came, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai came to the Caesar's house. The daughter had gone insane, and it was as though this demon had gone into her, and he was talking out of her throat and doing all kinds of weird things. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai came, and he said, "Bartalmion, say, Bartalmion, say." So he called the demon, "Get out of the girl, get out of the girl." He cured the girl. So the Caesar said, "Oh, you cured my daughter, so I'll give you what you want." That's how they annulled the decree. This is the famous story in the Shas about what they call a deep book, that a demon entered a human being. So it's a special story that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was on his way, and the demon offered him to go. Now remember the name Bartalmion, because when you get to Gemara in Shavuos, the story of Rava, you'll see that there's more depth to the story, because the story brings in Bartalmion as well. So I don't know which story the Rambam refers to here. The Rambam says everyone knows the story with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and the Caesar. Which story? That the Caesar wanted to kill him initially and he had to go into hiding? Or the story that he cured the Caesar's daughter? I don't know which one he means. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, who've know, and Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, that's his son. And we know Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, we learned the famous story about him when he was riding on the beach after he had learned a tremendous amount, and Eliyahu appeared to him in the form of a person that looked appalling. Uven Azai, Uven Zoma, Uven Nanas, whenever you encounter in the Mishnah Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, or Ben Nanas, So that's Shimon ben Azai, Shimon ben Zoma, and Shimon ben Anas. All three of these, their name was Shimon. You have to add the Shimon to the name. Ben Betera, when you encounter the name Ben Betera, that's Rabbi Yoshua ben Betera. When we encounter Ben Bagbag, that's Rabbi Yochanan ben Bagbag. Yochanan Kohen Gadol, whenever we see him in the Mishnah, that's Yochanan ben Matityahu, Yadua, that's known. Hanizkar b'tfilot b'sipor nitzachon on Melchei Yavan. We mention him in the prayers of Hanukkah. We say, Al Nizma al Purkan, Bimei Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Hashmonoi Uvonov. So the Rambam is saying, whenever we read Yochanan Kohen Gadol, that's this Yochanan ben Matisyo. Ve'otzu Rabbi Meir ve'Rabbi Natan leviyesh Rabbi Shimon aviv shel Rabbeinu HaKadosh al davar. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nosson, they wanted to repeal an enactment of Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon had enacted, he was the Nasi, he was the father of Rabbi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and he made a special halacha about the honor that's owed to the Nasi, that it should be different than the honor that's owed to the Chacham and the Av Betin. Now the Chacham and the Av Betin weren't around Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nosson. So when they came back to the academy and they saw that Rabbi Shimon had instituted a new institution, they said, we have to teach him that what he did was wrong. So they decided, they'll ask him to recount the last Mishnah in Shas. They said, Maseches Uktzin, that's a small Masechet, and he won't know it, so tomorrow when it comes time to learn, we'll ask him, you tell us that Maseches Uktzin, and when he won't know it, we'll tell him we're demoting you. You thought you were going to demote us, we're demoting you. That night, one of the students went behind Rabbi Shimon's house, and he sat there all night long reviewing Masech Suktzin. Rabbi Shimon can't fall asleep. There's someone humming Mishnais outside his window. So he figures, must be something's afoot. People don't come outside my window to review Mishnais for nothing. So he says, stays up, and he listens to the guy outside his window reviewing Masech Suktzin. And he memorizes it. The next morning he comes into the academy, and Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nosson, they say, Rabbi, please teach us Uktzin. So he rattles it off by heart, and he teaches the whole Masechet. And then he says, you guys knew I didn't know it. If not for the fact that I had special help, you would have embarrassed me in front of everyone. So he kicked them out of the academy. So Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nosson, who were the Av Beis Din and the Chacham, they were top after Rabbi Shimon, and they held, they were top maybe before Rabbi Shimon. They were kicked out of the academy. They sat out of the academy, and they'd send in notes with questions on the shir. So Rabbi Shimon's giving shir, and they'd send in questions. They'd sit there, all the students would try to figure out the answer, and they were all stumped. And then they'd send in notes with the answers. So they said, all the rabbis are outside, we're going to sit inside in the academy, you got to bring them back in. So Rabbi Shimon said, fine, we'll bring them back in, but because they tried to do this thing that was improper, we're going to tax them. And the Rambam says, Yerach Leazkir Nyano, it's going to take too long to tell you the whole story, so I'm not going to tell you the story, so that's why I filled it in. V'chikam Rabban Shimon Mishivatos. So Rabbi Shimon kicked them out of the yeshiva. And the Rambam doesn't mention that he brought him back in. The Gemara tells us it's a Gemara in the end of Horius. The Gemara says that they were brought back in, but they were taxed. When they'd quote Allah in the name of one of them, if it was Allah that Rabbi Meir had said, they taxed Rabbi Meir that whenever they'd quote Rabbi Meir in that academy, they'd say, other people say. They wouldn't call him Rabbi Meir. Tosus over here says that one of the reasons they did that was because the rabbis disagreed with Rabbi Meir that he continued learning by Elisha ben Avuyo, who was nicknamed Acher. So the rabbis disagreed with that, so that was the reason they gave him that nickname. That when they'd quote things in the name of Rabbi Meir, they'd say Acherim. Others say, they wouldn't mention their name. How do we know this story? Because Rabbi was once teaching his son a Mishnah, and he said Acherim or other people say. So his son said, wait a second then. If they're worth quoting, why don't you tell me their names? Why, you're quoting their opinion, but you don't tell me who they are. You just say, others say. So his father says, oh, you don't worry, son. They were people who, if they had their way, I wouldn't be here, you wouldn't be here. The whole Davidic dynasty that continues through me and you, that would be canceled. They would take the Nesius from our family. So his son said, fine, but they're dead already. You can't keep taxing them. It's over. They didn't get their ways. Now, so the Gemara says that they came to a compromise. And they text Rabbi Nosson that if they're quoting Allah from him, Yomu, they would say, yes, Yomim, there are those that say. Achmasha ma Rabbi b'mishnah, mishum Rabbi Shmuel amar talmid echad lifnei Rabbi Akiva. When you find Rabbi saying in the Mishnah that a student quoted Rabbi Yishmael in front of Rabbi Akiva, who Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir, who was one of the disciples of Rabbi Akiva. And whenever you find the Mishnah says, those who used to learn before the rabbis, that's a reference to five students. Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, Rabbi Shimon ben Zoma, Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, Hanan v'Hanan Eish Ono. Rabbi Meir nikra gamken Rabbi Nehorai. Rabbi Meir is also referred to in the Mishnah as Rabbi Nehorai. Nehorai in Aramaic is light. Meir is gives light. So the Rambam says, v'ayinyan echad. They're really the same. Ushmo meikaro, what's Rabbi Meir's real name? What does Rambam say? Rabbi Nehemia. So you ask yourself, okay, so why'd they change his name? The Rambam over here says that his name was Rabbi Nehemia. Okay. Aval mashne ma'ba mishnah chachamim. Whenever you find the Mishnah says, the rabbis say, chachamim omrim. Pa'amim yechane chachamim, echad min anashim sheikdam nushmotam. Sometimes... The Rambam says that Rabbi Meir had all three names. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Nehorai, and his original name was Rabbi Nehemia. The Rambam doesn't say why over here. The Rambam doesn't say why they changed his name. So, the Rambam says, whenever you find the Mishnah says, Chachamim, the rabbis say, so it could be it's the opinion of one of the rabbis of the Mishnah, one of the rabbis the Rambam enumerated earlier. The Rambam enumerated all the rabbis that are mentioned in the Mishnah. And sometimes it means all the rabbis had this opinion. And sometimes the Talmud explains and says, Man Chachamim, who is the Chachamim in the Mishnah? Being that when Rabbi says Chachamim Omrim, the rabbis say, Rebbe could mean a specific rabbi or all the rabbis, so sometimes the Gemara asks, who did Rebbe mean? Rebbe Ploni, he meant Rebbe so-and-so. V'ulam yaseze, but Rebbe did this to say, Chachamim Omrim, to give the one rabbi's opinion the name of all the rabbis. He'd say, the rabbis say, B'yotam kablim rabim shekiblu min ha-chacham ahu. So the Rambam says, when would Rebbe do this? When there were many rabbis who got this tradition from that one rabbi. So by now, it's already many rabbis who say this. That's what the Rambam says. Not everyone says this way. Meaning, how could Rebbe give majority opinion to one opinion? So some say because Rebbe put together the Mishnah together with his court. So if his court agreed with him to give this opinion the majority opinion, so it became the majority opinion because everyone said it. But that's not what the Rambam says here. Uvavur hayotan shehadeahi rabim. And being that now there are many people who hold that opinion because they all learned it from him, Yikreim Chachamim. That's why Rabbi calls them the rabbis, the sages. Lafilu shetiyeh liishachad, and even though the source of that opinion is really one person. Ulam masham ubet Shammai ubet Hillel. But what you find throughout the Mishnah, the house of Shammai, the house of Hillel, Ritzono lizko, what Rabbi means is to mention a chavura notah ledat Shammai, the group that's tilted towards Shammai's opinion, v'chavura notah ledat Hillel, and the group that's tilted to Hillel's opinion. Shetalmidei ha'adam hem anshei beito, that the students of a person are really the people of his home. Now this is very difficult, what the Rambam just said, because the Rambam changed from saying the academy of Shammai and the academy of Hillel. He doesn't say that. Maybe because they had one academy. They were Nasi and Av Beis Din. We don't know if the academy is splitting. But we have to recognize that this is a passage that needs a lot of work, this sentence. Because Shammai and Hillel only differed on 3 points. 4 points. And Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel, they have hundreds of machlokot throughout the Shas. We have machlokot between Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel. So how do you have Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel arguing, and according to the Rambam, when we say Bet Shammai, it's those that were tilted toward Shammai, and Bet Hillel, those that were tilted toward Hillel. Well, what was the difference between Shammai and Hillel? We say there were only three machlokot. So this needs a lot of work. There's a Tosefta in Sanhedrin that discusses that the machlokot really developed in the generation of Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel, but this needs work. The Rebbe, whenever you find Rebbe in the Mishnah, or as the Sfardim say it, Ribi, Hu Rabbeinu HaKadosh. That's a reference to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, HaShishi Lilel HaZaken, 6 generations from Hillel, Hu Mechaber HaMishnah, and he's the one that compiled the Mishnah. בכל מקום שנאמר במשנה באמת אמרו, whenever the Mishnah says, introduces ההלכה by saying, in truth they said, או הלכה למשה מסיני. That means this is a halacha that they had on tradition for Moshe from Sinai. אבל סתם משנה, but whenever you find a Mishnah that just says something plainly, it doesn't attribute what it says to a specific rabbi or rabbis, הומה שהסכימה עליו דעת רבים, that's something that the multitudes agreed to. Again, the Rambam's going with the opinion that if Rebbe gave it the majority opinion, then it must be there were a majority who had that opinion. So if Rebbe said it plainly, we said stam mishnah, it's as though everyone says it. So that's because many people agreed to this opinion. When people looked into it, they all agreed that this is the way it should be, or many people agreed this is the way it should be, and they didn't have machlokes, they didn't have an argument about it. Or shekiblu rabim min rabim ad Moshe. Or else, the Rambam says, a stam mishnah is something that everyone said, because they learned it from the generation before them, where everyone said it, all the way back to Moshe. So what's the Rambam saying here? Kefi asher chilaknu b'ftichat dvareinu, as we explained earlier at the beginning of our words. When there's a machlokes, the Rambam saying, if we have a stam mishnah, it means that everyone agreed to it. It's more powerful than chachamim umrim. But why is it more powerful? Because the masses had this tradition from the masses up until Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no argument. Tosfos doesn't agree with the Rambam. Tosfos says that when stam and chachamim are really two different strengths, we know in halacha, if one mishnah says chachamim umrim, the rabbis say, so that means Rebbe gave that mishnah the majority opinion. If Rebbe just said something plainly in the Mishnah, so then it's a Stam Mishnah. So Tosa says, Stam Mishnah has two powers. It has the power that it's the majority opinion, but it has another power that the Mishnah said it plainly, Stam Mishnah. So you could say that Tosas meant like the Rambam, but it doesn't say that in Tosas. And you could fit the Rambam into Tosas. But what we, according to the Rambam, a Stam Mishnah is very, very powerful, because it's the majority opinion of this generation and the generation that preceded it and the generation that preceded it. And the Rambam even says no one disagreed. The interesting thing is, what does the Rambam mean to encompass? Because we refer to a Mishnah, if the Mishnah says an opinion plainly and then says someone else's opinion who disagrees, we say that's Stam and Machlokas. How did the Rambam explain that? Would the Rambam say, well, until this rabbi came along, everyone agreed differently than him. And then he came along and he said his opinion. But really, he was disagreeing with every generation that preceded him. Is that what the Rambam means? Or, when the Rambam says here, stam, does the Rambam mean, when you have a stam and you don't have a machloket, you just have a stam. But this needs work, these lines in the Rambam. And the last generation who we attribute a quote in the Mishnah to is Rabbi Meir. Meaning we say Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. So the Rambam just said that Stam Mishnah is really all the rabbis generation after generation. So the Rambam says, yeah, but the one who we're quoting at the end of the day is Rabbi Meir. So that's why we say, whenever you have a Mishnah that plainly states halacha, that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. It doesn't mean it's his opinion. It means it's for generations everyone had that opinion, but the last one we heard it from is Rabbi Meir. Ela b'miktzat stumot efshar shem Rabbi Meir levado. But sometimes, says the Rambam, a Mishnah that's plainly stated is Rabbi Meir's opinion alone, v'alav machloket, and others disagree with him. Sometimes you have a Stam Mishnah and it's not Rabbi Meir's opinion. So the Talmud explains whose opinion it is. And when we rule, we give ruling in the halacha, in this Mishnah we go with this opinion, this Mishnah we go with that opinion. Then you'll know when the Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir or not. The Rambam says, when I explain in the Mishnah and the halacha is like this opinion or that opinion, one of the things I'll do is I'll also explain, is the Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir or not. So then you'll know. So what do we see today? We saw who are the names in the Talmud. Rabbi Lezer is Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanos, Rabbi Shua is Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, Rabbi Yudah is Rabbi Yudah ben Rabbi Eloi, Rabbi Lazar is Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua. And then we went to all the Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Ben Nanas, that their names were really Shimon. The Rambam then delved into Rabbi Meir, who was also Rabbi Naurai and Rabbi Nechemiah. And then the Rambam explained to us the concept of Chachamim, that usually it's the masses, but sometimes it's an individual opinion. The Rambam also explained to us the concept of Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel, that Rabbi is Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and Be'emet Amuz Halacha Moshe Misinai. And then the Rambam concluded with an explanation of the concept of Stam Mishnah, that Stam Mishnah is something that was on tradition for generations. The masses had this tradition, and the reason we attribute it to Rabbi Meir is because he's the last one that we heard it from.